We've been doing this series on identity for like 10 weeks now. We're trying to figure out who we are. And I've really been pushing that it's because we will find that out if we know who God is. So, I mean, we've got the reminders of the last few. Some of them have been more, we've kind of had this, tried to do this formula where God is blank, and so we are blank. Because that's how we figure out who we are, is by knowing who God is, who made us. But the second sermon that we had was from Jean Holt. She's from Ohio, a good friend of Mike's. And she said that our identity isn't for our sakes. Self-awareness isn't for you. Knowing your identity is for the sake of others. And that's a reminder tonight. I don't want you all to think that, oh, self-awareness is the goal here. I know who I am. Got it. Peace. No. It is for the sake of the community. Tonight, God is the head, and we are the body, to follow our little formula here. Christ Jesus is the head, and we are the body. Together, we are the body. So we're going to be talking about it. There's actually three passages. We're only going to read through one. But there's three major passages that it's talked about. And Paul, in his letters to Romans, to Ephesus, and to Corinth, he used the same body analogy three times. And there's huge overlap. Like, he had his outline. He knew what he wanted to say with this. And we're going to talk about that tonight. But yeah, the body is who we are, not who I are. So I need to pray because I need help. So yeah, pray with me. All right, guys. All right, Jesus, help me out. I am beat. I pray that that doesn't matter. I need you. I always need you. I've been saying all week, God, help me with this. You need to make this happen. And you have. And you've made it happen through the body. You've helped me out with my friends, my brothers and sisters, my fellow body parts. Pray that you would honor them through the words I say. Pray that we're all smarter, that we understand more than we did. More than that, I hope that you're pleased. I hope you like this. This is for you. And if those two things are taken care of, us getting smarter and you being pleased, then yeah, I pray that's a good time too. All right. Love you a lot. Amen. All right, so bodies are cool, right? It was like 3 weeks ago, a bunch of scummers and folks went to Moab at the Blackstones' suggestion with did these two slot canyons, Ding and Dang Canyon. And it was insane. It was like, I mean, we didn't get stuck. We thought about getting stuck. There was one point where we're like, can we actually go any further? And we did. All the scrambling, getting over rocks and stemming and trying not to step in this water that was probably like years old. We were like, don't put your foot in that. You might not get it back. But we did. It was amazing. We had to rappel at one point. And, all this scrambling, it was pretty amazing what a body can do. I mean, when we try to make bodies, as in robots, I mean, if you ever watched the robot, compilations on YouTube, it's hilarious. You know, they, like, take two steps, and then they turn right, and then they fall over. But then, like, four attempts later, they take two steps, turn right, two steps left, and everybody cheers. They're like, oh my gosh, that was amazing. It's like, no, that was not amazing. It's like, I don't know how proud you should be of that. Bodies are amazing. And they carry a brain. I mean, we did the slot canyons, and And not only did we get through it, David, like, cracked jokes the entire time. So it was like an adventure and a show. It was great. We're meant to be a body that does amazing things that individuals can't do. Our identities matter, but our identities are different. And those different identities come together and make something that can do anything. So, with that said, let's read the scripture. We got it, yeah, 1 Corinthians 12. Oh, I made that font really tiny. Sorry, everybody. So yeah, there's the three verses. The intro is just basic. He literally says, "I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts." Spiritual gifts are the context for all three of the body illustrations that Paul does. Spiritual gifts are gifts. Now, wait for it. That are spiritual. Yeah, you're welcome. That means, yes, I know. That means they are not natural. Spiritual means not natural. So, like skateboarding is not a spiritual gift of mine. It took me more practice than most people to learn the things that I can do, and it's not very many things. It's a natural gift. I practiced and I practiced and I tried and I tried and I tried. And there's lots of people saying, "I don't remember being this hard, Jesse." But I got there. I figured some stuff out. Spiritual gifts are something that you are gifted at for no real good reason why. God is making something happen through you. And there's a whole, there's different lists in scripture of them, like prophecy, encouragement, giving, leadership, all these different gifts. And in 1 Corinthians 12, we'll read through some of them, but that's the context. Here we go, verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, capital S, distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now that is one of the, there's certain things that he says every time, and that last line is one of them that he makes sure we get. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. Couple that with verse 7, now to each one of the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. One guy is running this show of spiritual gifts, and it's God. The Spirit is God. He makes that very clear in the three passages. God is in charge of these. He makes these happen. It's not you. All right, let's keep going. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we're all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. He makes this brutally clear in all three passages. Unity in diversity. God dang, that's one thing that we love at Scum. We like being different, sometimes to a fault. myself is probably, I'm the king of that. I'd like to be different just for a different sake, and that's just kind of dumb. But I'm getting better. We love difference. We love being interesting. We love things that are interesting. And that they all could come together in unity is awesome. We can get so much further because of differences. And looking past differences and using differences for a common goal. Yeah, where did I lose it? 15. Oh, is it? What's that? Yeah. Okay, whatever. I don't want to read that yet. You're messing me up. Stop it. Okay. So the common goal. Like, one thing that I discovered when I first came to Scum. It wasn't when I first came to Scum. It was when I came to the first staff meeting at Scum. And I met Tim Dunbar. And Tim was on staff. And, man, he and I were different. We had major differences in theology and in doctrine and all sorts of things. I was like, what you say? What? And he was one of my best friends on staff. That is something that Scum does really well. Major on the majors. And be fascinated with the minors. And use the minors. There's a lot of difference at Scum. And that's why it's so beautiful. Let's keep going. So yeah, now 15. God. Now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Keep going. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. The parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And you are the body of Christ. And each one of you is part of it. The last minute I decided to go with this one. It's the longest one. It's the earliest one. He did this letter to Corinth, in the 40s. Like the 40s, not like the 1940s, 40s. Romans was like 10 years later, and just a couple years after that, he did Ephesians, and they get shorter and shorter. But he still maintains these same points. Some of those main points, again, one Spirit, one God in charge of it all, one guy running the show, that happens to be God. Other thing, different parts, one body, always makes that super clear. One that's not in the passage, this is super interesting to me. All three of the passages are followed up with a very direct encouragement to love one another. Right after he finishes each body illustration, he's like, and love each other. Because he just knew. It was like, all right, you guys are different. Don't forget to love each other. Right? Because, oh, man, differences can be uncomfortable. I get it. Being different can be uncomfortable. There's a shirt. We might actually have a couple of the shirts because they didn't sell very well. Matt Jorgensen designed them, and they were pink and gold on black. That might have been part of the problem. And it was hard to read, but it said transcend autonomy. And I was like, I don't get it. It's like, oh, you want to. Ah, so good. And depending on the conversation, I would explain it or not explain it. But I'm going to explain it now. So go to the next, I think, next slide. Yes. This is how we go through life. First, dependent. As kids, we can't do anything. We can't even wipe our own butt. And then we graduate in independence. We learn how to do things for ourselves, like wipe our own butt. We get somewhere. We learn how to be functional, autonomous people. And normally the parents are like, all right, you did it. You're human. Peace. I turned 40 and my mom just sent me a magnet that said, the first 40 years of parenting are the hardest. Yeah, thanks, Mom. So, yeah, maybe I've gotten into independence by now. So I do wipe my own butt. This illustration, these illustrations of the body put another level. That's interdependence. That is transcending autonomy. And it is harder. The ear saying, it's like, I'm not the eye, so never mind. The ear takes off. I don't know how that's done. Like, Paul's like, no, you are still a part of the body. You can't just leave. Same with the hand. I can't remember specifically what parts he goes with. The parts are needed. All the parts are needed by all the other parts. Interdependence is what we are graduating to. Like I mentioned with Gene, your healing, your story, your identity is not for you. It is for others. A being that is a nose isn't going to make it. Well, my identity is sniffing stuff. It's like, well, that's great. You don't have a brain that cares. The nose matters because it's connected to the rest of the body. The kneecap matters because it's protecting the rest of the legs. The body needs all of the rest of the body. We're going through all this individual stuff, and I don't want you guys to think that it's just for your own self-awareness. If and when, because we are constantly figuring out who we are, it is to help others. Self-awareness, sure. Others' awareness is the goal. God has created us to be interdependent. God has created us to need others in our lives. Now, this takes some uncomfort. It's difficult to just figure out what you do and then do it and then just kind of stick your neck out and it's like, all right, I'm the, a few months ago I said I was God's asshole. That's what I do, I guess. So, I mean, if that's my role, I just, well, you know. Spew things forth like I am right now. It takes me some nerve to get up in front of you guys and pretend that I know what I'm talking about. I pray all week long. I was like, God, help me out with this. I know some of this, but you know it better. Please help me help my friends. Guys, like I said a couple weeks ago, it's like we get so concerned. It's like, okay, but it's fascinating that I'm forgiven. It's fascinating that I'm a friend of God, but what do I do? It was a question that a lot of us were feeling. And then a couple weeks ago, I said, it's not what you do. State of being verbs. It's who you are, who you be. Tonight, who am us? I've mentioned this in other sermons as well, but like the economy of God is so at work here. A few of you know what I mean when I say that, but Scott mentioned it last week. If you want something, you give it away. The economy of God is so confounding, and it doesn't make sense, but it is beautiful in this way. If you want to feel love, give love away. If you want security, then he says, give your stuff away. That gives you security. If you want to be great, then make yourself the least. God's economy is so cool like that. I've told this story too before. I was like, I remember talking to college students, but now, like, I mean, I'm teaching my little kids. And I've told Viva, it's like, if you want people to be interested in you at ballet, she dances over there all the time. It's not about you. You don't have to be more interesting. People will want to be around you because you make them feel better, not because they think you are better. It's a weird social thing that just works as a matter of common sense. But God has blown it up to pretty much every aspect of life. If you want something, give it away. And this is how we function in the body. If you're a smeller, smell like the Dickens. If you're a foot, run like the Dickens. Do it and do it as much as you can. Oh, yes. This is an important asterisk. And yeah, so go to the next slide. There are spiritual gifts. And there are commands from God. And there are some that are both. And this is a little weird. So, in the left, in the oval, those are gifts. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. Pastoring and shepherding people. Apostleship, basically getting fellowship started. Leadership, prophecy, teaching, miracles, and healing. Those are spiritual gifts. Things that God has tapped. Some people, sometimes just once in a lifetime, sometimes regularly, like every other day. Excuse me. And those things can't be done without the Spirit. The middle there, those are all spiritual gifts as well. So there is the spiritual gift of faith. There's the spiritual gift of giving, wisdom, evangelism, encouragement, discernment, knowledge, serving, mercy. Incidentally, God commands us to do all of those things in the middle. So that's an interesting thing. So like the most popular like excuse as far as like, oh, I don't have to do that. It's not my gift. It's giving. A lot of people say, well, I'm not gifted in giving. It's not one of my spiritual gifts, so I don't have to give. It's like, eh. Yeah, you do. God said do it. So there's some that's like skateboarding. You just got to try. Do it over again and over again and over again. Maybe get a little better at it. But some things are just commanded. And then the stuff on the right is just, you know, we're all supposed to not murder. It's not a spiritual gift. It's like, I'm gifted in not killing people. It's like, oh, no, that's not how it works. The two left columns, those are all mentioned in Scripture. And for clarity's sake, there's a different list of gifts in Corinthians and in Romans and in Ephesians and Peter. Peter talks about it once too. They're all different lists, they overlap some, but there's some that only happen in one, which is to say God is really creative. It's not a comprehensive list. There are spiritual gifts that aren't in Scripture. But remember, they are gifts that are spiritual. Things that are unnatural to you. Like, one of my favorite examples of just figuring out if something is a spiritual gift or not is encouragement. My increasingly for me, but back in the day, quite a bit for my brother, he was not an encouraging person. He was kind of mean, really frank, made a lot of girls cry. Not because he was a heartbreaker, just because he was a jerk. But there's meetings that he would have, like whether they're group meetings or one-on-one meetings, where people walk away and like, I can't believe how encouraged I am. It's like, I can go do what I know I'm supposed to do now. And I know God touched me because it was Casey that said these things. I mean, that made it pretty obvious. I mean, faith, we're all supposed to have faith. It is faith that saves us, that brings us into the body in the first place. But then there's some of those folks that just, like, believe easily, have faith that it's going to work out. It's like, no, God's on the throne. It's like, no, he's not! And they're like, no, it's cool. God's got a plan. It's like, I don't think so! And they shouldn't think so either, but they do. It's because they got the spiritual gift of faith. If they use their brain, seriously, if they put the circumstances together, they'd be like, no, this is not going to work out. But the Holy Spirit has indwelt them in a way that says, no, it's going to work out fine. That makes it a spiritual gift. So, for the record, those ones in the middle, do them. Probably might take you more effort than the people that are spiritually gifted with them, but you got to do them. I know I've mentioned that before, but that is a distinction. So go back to, whatever slide you feel like, actually, because it doesn't matter. Scum of the Earth Church, right now we are not a healthy body. We're not doing good right now. 9 months ago, we were a healthy body. I hope I have your attention. We're not doing good right now. 9 months ago, we were praying with each other pretty regularly. 9 months ago, we were looking at God because we were like, are we doing the right thing? I don't know what's going on. Please help us, God. Things were going pretty good. Things turned around. Things were going well. Like, amazing stuff has happened in the last 12 months. Healings, new Christians, deliverance, and we're like, yeah, we got stoked. And we've started functioning much more naturally. We don't pray as much together anymore. Spiritually, we are not functioning as a body. Guys, if we do something fun, this is a good bet a lot of you will be there. If we do something spiritual, overtly spiritual, I don't know if you guys are going to show up. Guys, as Christians, our spirits are alive now. Everything we do is spiritual. We need to be healthy. It's been nuts. It has been crazy, man. Like, things were going amazing. Like I said, cool stuff was happening. There we go. We were at an interdependent place. We knew what we needed from each other, and we depended on each other for it. And stuff was happening. God was smiling on us, was honoring us. And then, frankly, the enemy, Satan, messed with us. I mean, it's just, I mean, Christians, we sound so weird when we say stuff like this, but like, Satan picked on us. And he did, man. There was ugly, annoying, awful things. People died this last winter. And it screwed with us all, and we all, like, started bouncing around. Some of us went to independence. I was like, I need some space. Some of us went to dependence. It's like, I need everything. And we regressed. And that's where we're at right now, guys. We've tasted it, and it's cool. We haven't lost it. There's more to be done. And we are going to see more cool stuff. But right now, we're being selfish. We're being isolating. We're being needy, needlessly. We need to get back. There's a couple folks here that probably haven't heard this, but you know, this is our vision. We're the outpost. We're the little circle. Big circle is the kingdom of God. We're on the edge. Kind of a beacon for people outside trying to find truth. We can be a welcoming place for people on the inside who aren't making it. It's like, I think I can try this little circle on the edge. It's what we do. Because of both of those directions, people in the middle going out and the people on the outside coming in, the outpost is a little bit of a mess. Just always will be. Organization is not going to be something that we do. And frankly, for good reason. Organization is going to slow us down. We need to be disciplined. Discipline matters. We will be disciplined here. But organization isn't something we're going to care about. Discipline is what we need to go after, because it is kind of a mess here. There are people on the outside coming to us bleeding out. The outpost doesn't have a spa. The outpost has a pretty sweet emergency room. We're good at the ER. We're good at triage. That means there's some of us that are a little prickly. Some of us are in emergency state. Some of us are still trying to, like, make sense of the shit show outside those doors. It's like, I don't get it! And we flail, and we bop each other in the face, and we insult each other just because we're freaking out. Grace is required at Scum of the Earth Church. Not everybody here is friendly. Sorry. And we have a lot of people working in the ER that are really good at it. But it's an ER. It's not a hotel. There's more rooms than just the emergency room at Scum, at the outpost. If you've come to Scum to live in the emergency room, you're doing it wrong. If you are still bleeding out 6 months later, there's something else that we need to do. Also true for the workers. Also true for the workers. You can't live in the ER. Workers, staff, leaders, council. Do shifts. Go take a nap sometimes, for crap's sake. If you get stuck in the ER, you're dealing with dependence and you're dealing with independence. Myself included, a lot of the staff, like, we just get in this need-to-be-needed thing. They're like, I don't know who to make do this, so I'm going to do it. And we do stuff all the time, and we get pissy. Sorry. And there's some people that just become, I don't know, what is it, the appendix in the body. That just stuff gets stuck there and just keeps wanting things and nothing and no real function. All of us are used here. That's one of the things that we put in our mission statement is we use everybody's gifts. Figuring out those things out sometimes is hard. Sometimes takes a minute. Guys, we need to get to interdependence. God has designed us to need things, just like the body needs things. The body needs blood, needs water, needs oxygen all the effing time. We need God all the time. We need those impulses from the brain that we get in Scripture, that we get in prayer, that we get in counsel from each other. That is interdependence. We need more of that. We are going to work on things. We were going to do that retreat about how to read Scripture for yourself. And yeah, it still needs to happen, but we're like, we don't have any money. Which is also kind of a sign of unhealth. We just kind of think, oh, somebody else will pay for stuff. Well, no one's paying for the stuff right now, so we can't do that retreat. But there are prayer meetings. There are small groups. Show up to stuff that's not fun. I know some of you are. Some of you are doing it too much. The independent ones. It's like, I'll just do it. No. Take someone with you, and then maybe the next time they'll do it for you. We've been talking about identity, and it's important. You need to know. I mean, if you think you're an I and you actually are, you know, the gallbladder, you need to figure that out. So yes, identity matters as an individual. Yes, figure it out. We're working on it. But these three chapters and many other places in Scripture are blinking neon signs saying it's not about you.
It's about us. We've been called to an extroverted lifestyle. Introverts, myself included. Extroverts, there's introverted disciplines you need to employ as well. But we're life together. That's what we do. That is what God has called us to. Your identity is for God. After God telling you what it is, giving it to you, and he says, oh, now use it for others. And then in the economy of God, that gets you what you want. So friends, figure yourself out, sure. You can find it out better in community. And then be with each other. I love you guys. I think that's all I want to say.